Officers and the auditors state that the definition of the harbour land purchased from the Lord of the Manor and covered in the 1905 Act is not clear. However, manorial rights transferred to the Whitby Urban District Council extended over the riverbed at the points covered by the high water mark. An ordnance survey map dated 1913 clearly shows the position of that high water mark. When this is superimposed upon a Google Earth image of the same scale, it clearly shows that those areas of land reclaimed from the riverbed include Endeavour Wharf and the car parks in question. There is a debate about whether the lands purchased from the railway form part of the working port. Whitby Station, as it is now, serviced passenger travel. However, the goods yards were established to service the port and the transportation of ore from the ironstone mines. This required a large shunting yard for the purpose. Maps in my position from the survey of Whitby, dated 1958, clearly show the extent of the railway shunting yards and track still running to the timber sheds. It is difficult to argue that land purchased from the railway did not therefore form an integral part of the port and are therefore technically not harbour land. I would contend that they were harbour land. The 1905 Act is quite specific in that it states that harbour land should only be used for marine purposes. The council's actions, it could be argued, in establishing car parks were therefore ultra-virus and contrary to the legal powers if they were on established harbour lands. That being said, we are where we are, and I do not propose to labour that matter. The auditor's recommendation is not what we're being asked to approve in this report. I would contend that by accepting the recommendation as written, we'll leave this and any future council open to possible future challenge on the extent of harbour lands and any revenues received from them by way of rents and way leaves. For instance, the Tourist Information Building was built as a planning gain on what some might contend is harbour land. Is it or isn't it? It was certainly built within what is the boundary of the harbour as I remember it in 1960. And I probably have a longer memory than most of you here. Should the annual rent in respect of this building go to the council's general fund or the harbour account? Were the new kiosks built by the council on harbour land? And which account gets that rent? We need greater clarity than we will get if this recommendation as written is passed today. The recommendation is not what was proposed by the auditors and limits the scope of what we should be asking the courts to clarify. I therefore propose an amendment to the recommendation to accord exactly with the proposals of the auditors. And I will read the amendment. One, after 26 March 21 attached in the report, I would recommend that we substitute that this council takes proceedings to seek a ruling on the land and property which comprises the statutory harbour undertaking, and whether all income from activities associated with that land and property is revenue received by the council in respect of the harbour undertaking. That is the recommendation of Mazars. Further, two, in the event that the court decides that any revenue is received by the council in respect of the harbour undertaking, the court be invited to give direction as to the ratification of accounts, including the financial years, which should be rectified. That is the recommendation of Mazars. And three, that will remain as notes that the legal costs incurred by the council to seek the court's declaration be funded from the council's risk management reserve and are estimated at 50,000 to 100,000. I so propose the amendment, Mr. Mayor.